The Four Horns of the Altar. That's the title of the wee study tonight. Our Thursday thoughts, isn't that what we've called them? Thursday thoughts. The Four Horns of the Altar. Exodus 27. And here we have Jehovah commanding Moses to make the tabernacle. But specifically here, as you can see from the screen, Jehovah is commanding Moses to make the altar, the brazen altar where the blood would be shed. Exodus 27, verse 1, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass." So that's the Lord's command to Moses. Let's see if Moses obeys the Lord's command. Well, of course he did. Exodus 38, if you just go over to that chapter. And again, the first 2 verses. 38th chapter of Exodus this time. And let's read about Moses' obedience to the Lord. You always do what the Lord tells you, folks, in his word. Always be obedient to him. Doesn't matter what man says, mortal man. It's a good motto to have all the time. Just do what God says in his word, and you'll be all right. And Moses did what the Lord said, Exodus 38, verse 1. "And he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square. And 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass." Now, I want us to go to 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. Because we're going to read about a man who took hold of the horns of the altar. We've read about the making of the altar and the making of the horns. But let's read about this man, this sort of unknown man, this sort of anonymous, nearly, you would call him, individual from the pages of the Old Testament. And he takes hold of the altar that the Lord had commanded Moses to make. 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse 50, we're right down at the end of the chapter, verse 50. "And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, Go to thine house." Well, the last reading, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You see, this is where the four horns really are tonight that I want you to grab hold of. Romans 8, verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Somebody quoted that wee verse on Tuesday morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's lovely, isn't it? "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The four horns of the altar, these four horns that the Lord commanded Moses to make, and that Moses did make when he was making the tabernacle, these are the horns I want us to focus on tonight. And of course, the time came whenever the tabernacle was folded up and was a thing of the past, and Solomon's temple was built, but it had the four horns as well. So there in the Old Testament, you've got these four horns of the brazen altar. And they were ornamental, of course, but they were more than ornamental. They served a function. They served a purpose. You see, the horns of the altar was a place of refuge for the Israelite who was in danger. And if an Israelite was being pursued by someone dangerous, a murderer, someone who wanted to harm them, they would flee to the tabernacle or the temple, and they would go directly to the horns of the altar and latch onto them and hold onto the horns of the altar. And they were safe. There's a place of safety. We've read tonight of this man, Adonijah. And he went to the horns of the altar and he grasped hold of them and he wouldn't let go of them because he was afraid of King Solomon. But you know, Adonijah was a child of the king. You see, he was actually Solomon's brother, King David's son. I want to tell you tonight, folks, you are children of the king. Not David, but a greater than David. The son of David. Great David's greater son. You're his children tonight. And he has brought you here tonight to bless you. Not to do you harm. There's a whole lot of people today seem to think that the house of God's a place where they're going to be harmed. You know, it's a dangerous place to go to. Oh, better be very careful. We better be really careful about going to God's house. Did you ever hear the like of it? I want to tell you, folks, that the Lord who loves us and has bought us with his blood, when he brings us into his house, it's not to harm us, but it's to bless us, it's to do us good. Because we are his children. Tell me this, would you harm your child? I have a daughter down there. I'll tell you, the last thing I would do is harm her. And I have two other weans at home, and the last thing I'll do to them is harm them. Now, there's times that you might feel like reaching for them. And whenever I was a child, might I add, I'm sure there was many a time my father and mother felt like reaching for me. But I was their child and they did all that I needed. They did all for me that I needed and they didn't harm me. The Lord will not harm his children. We are children of the king. Just as Adonijah was a child of the king. So we can say, you can say tonight, I can say tonight, I am a child of the king. And you see, we can be like this child of the king. We can go to the horns of the altar tonight. We can go to the horns of the altar in prayer. We can find a place of safety tonight at the throne of grace. For it is the ultimate place of safety. So how is it with you tonight, child of God? Brother, sister in the Lord, how is it with you tonight? Are you dogged by regret? Are you hounded by guilt? Are you pursued by fear? Well, let me point you to the horns of the altar tonight. These horns, there's four of them, as I've already said. And they're found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, just to give you a wee picture of the altar, there it is, folks, and I hope you can make it out. And there's the brazen altar, and it's got four horns. You see the horns in each corner? Well, think with me for a few moments about the four horns of the altar, and then we get down to prayer. Well, the first horn that the Lord wants you to lay hold on tonight is there in Romans 8:34. It is Christ that died. It is Christ that died. He died for you. He died for me. His blood was shed for us. Do you know that those four horns of the altar, they had the blood applied to them? You read the Old Testament scriptures. Time and time again, you have instances where Moses or Aaron or whoever it was, they took the blood of a bullock or the blood of a lamb or whatever, and they applied the blood to the horns of the altar. All four horns. We come to God tonight through the precious blood of Christ who has died for us. Thank God for this blood-sprinkled way that we can come to the Lord tonight. Having boldness, brethren, isn't that what the book of Hebrews tells us? To enter into the holiest by our good works, by our performance, by our keeping the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule, by paying our taxes, by giving to charity. Is that what it says? Does any of those things ring a bell? No? Well, of course they don't know. Having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that what it is? It's not music to your ears tonight, folks. By the blood of Jesus. The devil hates the blood. That's why we make much of it. That's why we love to sing about the blood. Because it's the only way that we have access to God. Thank God tonight that when conscience screams at us, we can plead the blood. We can go to this horn of the altar. Christ died. He shed his blood in dying for us. And that's the cure for a guilty conscience. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's one of my favorite Bible verses. You know what that phrase, dead works, means? Sins of a believer. The sins of a believer. You see, we are saved, we're justified by faith, we're accepted by God because of Christ, but yet there are those dead works in our lives as believers. And the devil would weigh us down and would discourage us and tell us, what's the point you going to a prayer meeting? What's the point you going to the Lord's table for communion? Just stay away. You're not good enough. Communion's not for the likes of you. And he hammers us down. But you see, there's a remedy for the dead works of the believer. It's the blood of Christ. Thank God tonight, as we look ahead to communion on Sunday night, we can come to the blood of Christ and let that precious blood purge our conscience from dead works, from those sins that we have been guilty of. And let's just tell the Lord about them and just own up to them and confess and say, Lord, I have let you down, but Lord, apply the precious blood and let me come to your table on Sunday evening. Let a man examine himself and stay away. Is that what it says? No. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Oh, thank God tonight we can lay hold on this horn of the altar. This first horn, it is Christ that died. When the devil accuses us, and he's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? When other people accuse us, do you find other people accuse you, run you down, pick holes in you? Well, that's part and parcel of walking the narrow way, isn't it? You'll always have your detractors until you reach heaven. There'll always be those who are looking for an opportunity to pick holes in your life. But don't be discouraged. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they did it to Christ. For 33 years they held the magnifying glass up against him. They examined him. They plotted and they schemed to try to trip him up. Hallelujah, they never did trip him up. Now, there's times, friends, that we have got tripped up, haven't we? We have been tripped up. But not our blessed Savior. He was too good for them, far too clever for them. Horn one, it is Christ that died. Horn number two. Yea, rather, that is risen again. You see, we are tempted and assailed by evil foes. And we need a power that we do not possess in ourselves. And I tell you, folks, it's the power of his resurrection. Jesus has risen again. He's alive. I want to encourage you tonight to go to the risen Christ and tell him about your enemies tonight. You see, he who has conquered death can conquer your strongest enemy. The power of his resurrection can deal with our enemies. We have many enemies. They're far too strong for us. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They're far, far more powerful than we are. But thank God tonight our risen Christ can conquer them all. You see, he came into this world 2,000 years ago and he conquered. Do you know the Roman emperors had a saying during the time of the Roman Empire? And they used to go into battle and they won the battle and they would come back. And you know what they used to say? I came, I saw, I conquered. I came, I saw, I conquered. Our great emperor at God's right hand, our great king, he came into this world, he saw the enemies of the gospel, and he conquered. He came, he saw, and he conquered. And thank God we conquer through him. Here's the second horn. He's risen again. Lay hold of it tonight. Take hold of it. Well, what about the third one? Who is even at the right hand of God? This speaks of his ascension. We need to lay hold of the fact of his ascension. Jesus has ascended on high. You see, folks, had he risen but not ascended, then he would not be in absolute control. Did you get that? Now, he is in absolute control tonight. That's why we've no fear coming into God's house, by the way. We believe in a sovereign Savior. Nobody's going to get ill or nobody's going to die before their time, before his time, before the appointed time. So we don't need to be afraid. You see, he's in absolute control. He's in complete control of everything that concerns our lives. Everything that's happening in our lives tonight, he's in supreme control. He has it down to a T. It's all because he has ascended, because he's at the right hand of God. I'm so glad he has ascended up to the throne of the universe. That's where he is tonight. Yes, it's wonderful that he rose from the dead, but it's even more wonderful that he ascended on high and led captivity captive. And tonight he's at the Father's right hand, and he has absolute control over this universe. But let me say, and let me be more specific, he has absolute control over everything that happens in this church, and absolute control over everything that happens in your life and mine. Fear not, Christian. Fear not. Horn number four. Who also maketh intercession for us. Be like Adonijah tonight. Grasp hold of the horns of the altar. These four horns, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The Lord saves the best to last, the fourth horn. Jesus is praying for us tonight. Our great intercessor, our great high priest. You know, the lovely thing is, the Father always answers his prayers. Sometimes, you see, I pray for things that are wrong. Things that I ought not to pray for. I pray for situations, and God the Father in his perfect wisdom says, now if I was to give you what you're asking for, it would do you harm. It would harm your spiritual life, so I'm not going to give it to you. But the Lord Jesus always asks for things that are good and things that will bless. He always asks for the right things. And you see, God the Father always answers his prayers. God the Father never refuses his Son. And he's praying for me tonight. He's praying for you. Let me leave one thing with you this evening. And I'm going to be specific now. This is one of the things, one of the requests that Jesus is bringing to his Father tonight. You see, it's found in John 17. You don't have to turn it up. But it's the great high priestly prayer of Christ in John 17. And this is what Jesus prays. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Jesus is praying for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, for every one of us tonight. And he's praying, Father, bring all those believers in new buildings, bring them all to glory. Bring them safely home to heaven. What does God the Father always do? He always answers the prayers of his Son. Guess what, folks? You're going to be in heaven someday. Isn't that a nice thought to finish with? Well, I'll tell you why you're going to be in heaven someday. Not because you're a great person. Not because I'm a great person. No, it's very simple. It's because we have one who is praying for us. You see, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Is not what Charles Wesley penned in his great hymn. He ever lives above for me to intercede, his all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood for sin did once atone, and now it pleads before the throne.